In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Great to be here with you on this very blessed day. Today is the Feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So basically what that means, it's our Blessed Mother's birthday today. You know, it's a wonderful day of celebration. So make sure that you get a cake and some ice cream and wish our Blessed Mother happy birthday. You know, it's very interesting in the church. You know, we just had the canonization of a saint now, Pier Giorgio Frassati and Saint Carlo Acutis. And they celebrate their actual days, their saint days, is going to be typically on the day when you die, because that's your birth into heaven, birth into eternal life. There's very few saints that we celebrate their actual birthday when they were born, their earthly birth. Well, of course, we have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Christmas, duh, right? I mean, that's the obvious one. But there's only two others that I know of. One is Nativity of John the Baptist, right? And we celebrated that not too long ago. And today, the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, you may be saying, well, wait a minute, why are we celebrating the birthday of Mary, especially when there's no scriptures that talk about the birth of Mary? So where do we get that from? All right, well, obviously we know Mary had to be born because she became God's mother, right? So we know she had to be born. But where we get the information about that is from not from one of the gospels, right? But it's one of the books that's actually, that one, is called the Proto-Evangelium of James. It's an apocryphal book. And also the Shepherd of Hermes. Those two books are quoted actually in the Catechism, even though they're not, not actual gospels, because those two books don't focus on the gospel kerygma, you know, the very kernel of our faith, the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Proto-Evangelium of James is where we get the names of Mary's parents, Joachim and Anne, and information about Mary's birth. So if you read the Proto-Evangelium of James, it's available online. You can find it for free online. So basically, Joachim and Anne were not able to have children. They were older. And they were praying for a child, and God heard their prayer and granted them a child, was the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, when the child was born, typically, and we see this pattern in the Old Testament, families who are not able to have children, if God graced them with children, they typically consecrated those children to God, right? So let's take a look at the Old Testament, for example. Abraham and Sarah, right, were childless. And then Abraham was 99 years old, the two angels came and he treated them with respect and showed hospitality. And so he said, you're going to have a child this time next year. Sarah laughed, right? She was outside the tent and she laughed. And that's why they called this the child Isaac. Yitzhak means laughter. And, you know, what happened? Abraham brought him up on Mount Moriah to sacrifice him to the Lord, remember? And he was about to slay his son. And then the angel said, no, we know that you are faithful, you know, and take, you know, you're going to have descendants as numerous as the stars and sand ashore to sea. Take the ram that's in the thicket and sacrifice that instead. We know that's a prefigurement of Jesus carrying the cross, because remember, Isaac had the wood of the wood for the sacrifice on his shoulder, carrying up the hill. Jesus carried the cross up that same hill, right, which is Golgotha, right, which is the same mountain that Abraham and Isaac climbed up to sacrifice at Mount Moriah up there. And so that's one. And also Hannah. Remember, Hannah was not able to have children. This is 1 Samuel. She was unable to have children. And so she prayed. And in fact, the other women were mocking her because she couldn't get pregnant. And so when Samuel was born, she offered him up to the temple. Remember, he was in the tent with the priest Eli when the Lord came to him and told him that he wanted him to be a prophet. right? And then the other one, of course, is in Judges chapter 13. The woman there is the mother of Samson. I think she's just called the mother of, or the wife of Manoah. I don't think we actually have her name. But when, she could not have children, but when God granted her a child, she made what's called the Nazarite vow and offered him to God. Remember, they can't drink any strong wine or any strong drink. He can't eat anything unclean. No razor shall touch his head, kind of a thing. That whole thing. And so in the proto-evangelium of James, it says that when Mary was born, when she was about 2 years old, they took her up to the temple and they consecrated her to God as a temple virgin. All right. And so Mary was born and then consecrated to God in the temple. Now, what's interesting is that where were Mary's parents during the Annunciation? Because remember, in Matthew's gospel, it talks about the Annunciation, the angel came to Mary. Now, interesting, after she married Joseph, because we know that she was legally married to Joseph, called the Edusine, the covenant was established between the two, typically the woman would go back to live with her parents. Now, remember, the house of Mary, where Joachim and Anne, where Mary was born, is in Jerusalem. But the church of the Annunciation, where the Annunciation took place, is in Nazareth. Right. So very interesting. She would have went back to live with her parents, but because they consecrated her, she did not go back to her parents' house. And most likely, and I think if I remember my studies with Father Mitch in grad school, I think this is correct. I think Father Mitch would agree with me that most likely by the time of the Annunciation, Joachim and Anne were deceased because they were already elderly when they had her, consecrated her, and then the priest in the temple would have taken care of her. So after her marriage to Joseph, she would have went back back to the temple until Joseph prepared a home for them to live in. And then after the Nisuin, the second part of the wedding ceremony, the wedding feast, they would have begun living their life together. All right. So a little bit of background for you as we celebrate today the Feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Today, I'm Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you, your thoughts on the Blessed Mother today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Well, I know whose birthday it's not today. It's not Matt Gabinski, who's screening your calls today, or Michael McCall or Pedro Quiles, who's doing social media. And I know it's not the birthday of my good friend, our producer, Ace McCall. Okay, Ace, how you doing?
I'm good. That's not till April, so you got time to plan.
We gotta wait till next year.
That's right. I'm finding the longer you and I are friends, and I learn the nuggets that are stored in your brain of the translation of names and cities and things. When I watch movies and TV shows now, I find myself gravitating to, is there a hidden meaning in the name of this character for what they're trying? Like, so I'm like duly like trying to remind myself, okay, what did he say that name was? Oh, okay. You know, so like what reminded me, you're talking about Isaac. We were watching a show this weekend that Isaac was the main villain of a particular show. And so as we were watching it, he ends up kind of becoming the butt of the joke, so to speak. So it actually, through the whole series we were watching, and it was like, okay, not a connection. Ah, there it is. So we just kept waiting for that little twist. I was like, the little things I learned from Deacon Harold.
So I'm just a geek, you know, basically. So I just
I'm
love,
finding more
learning.
And more of that. Like when I talk to priests, they say the same thing. Like, okay, we're going to geek out in this homily, so just be ready. Like they do that regularly. It's kind of a go-to characteristic, I think.
Yeah. It's really like the Catholic faith is like a treasure trove. The more you learn, the more you realize how much you don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's always something to learn, always something new to explore, always an area. Like right now, I'm writing a chapter for a book that'll be out next year. It's kind of like the magnum opus of the diaconate. It's like it's a phenomenal project that I'm honored to be part of, and it's called tentatively called "Living the Servant Mysteries: A Comprehensive Guide to the Diaconate." And I'm writing the chapter on deacons and Catholic social justice, which is something I never, you know, it's a new area for me. Because in my book, I don't really talk about my book on the diaconate. I don't really talk about that. you know. So this was like, oh, something new to explore here. So I'm like way over the page limit, you know, the word count. Yeah, so I got to edit it down and put all the scholarly apparatus in there now.
Sure.
So it should take me another couple of weeks to get that chapter done for that book. And it never stops. The work never stops. But I'm not complaining because I love what God has me doing.
That's awesome. You're my phone-a-friend. If I'm ever on a game show and I have a chance for like a question that I know is in your geekdom, then I'm going to definitely call you.
That's awesome, man. Thank you, Ace. Appreciate that, brother. That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. We're talking about the feast today of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Basically, it's the Blessed Virgin Mary's. We're celebrating her birthday today. Would love to hear from you. If you have a special prayer of intercession or want to talk about the Blessed Mother in your life, we'd love to hear from you today. Give us a call on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-EW10.
Told you I got your curveball.
Ooh, look at that. Oh, hold on now. Something new here. Like that little classic. You know, some of the listeners have been asked about playing some classical beds, you know?
Yeah.
So, ooh, I like that.
Normally, I would say all requests have to be written on a $20 bill, but we'll make the exception for the show.
Yeah. You know, some people's first exposure to classical music has been through, like, for example, I mean, very funny examples. Bugs Bunny.
Right.
Remember that episode, the Barbara Seville? He's rubbing 100%. I mean, come on, man. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
But that's really someone's indoctrination into classical music or Fantasia.
Sure.
Right? But the Walt Disney thing back mm-hmm. when we were kids, you know, Fantasia or different things like that, the bringing into classical music. Movies like Amadeus. You know, about Mozart mm-hmm. or Christmas, certain Christmas songs are written by Beethoven or funeral yep. songs and things like that. And but, you know, we should really, as a whole, be listening to more classical music. Because think about this. We're talking about songs that are going to be irrelevant and songwriters 50 years from now. People like Billy Joel, Elton John and mm-hmm. and folks like that. But classical, they've been around hundreds of years,
sure.
you know, at least 100 years or more, and they're still relevant. People are still listening. They're still powerful and meaningful to this very day.
Well, and even another level of that, Star Wars, Marvel movies.
Ah, yes.
I mean, any soundtrack. I mean, probably everybody in Gen X could identify Star Wars theme, Superman theme, Star Trek theme. All of these are technically classical pieces. They're just orchestrating a motion picture.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So listen to more classical music, everybody. I know for me, I love like Paganini, mm-hmm. like Niccolo Paganini,
yep.
Italian violinist. And I think his nickname was the Devil because he used to play. He's like Eddie Van Halen. He was doing like Eddie Van Halen type of stuff back in the day on the violin.
Oh, wow.
They thought he was possessed because he played so incredibly.
Sure.
You know, and it was, I don't know, I think this is legend. He was playing a concert, of course, violin has four strings. One of the strings broke. He kept playing. Then two of the strings broke and he kept playing. I'm like, what? That's insane.
That's
but anyway. Yeah, classical music, everybody. Get your fill. I'm Deacon Harold Brooks, series listening to Beacon of Truth. Today we're celebrating the feast of the Nativity, the birthday of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Would love to hear your thoughts on the Blessed Mother today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
While you're streaming this week, don't forget if you already have the MyTuner app, well, EWTN, easily accessible, whether you're listening to podcasts or you want to listen to live shows like Beacon of Truth. Check us out on the MyTuner app today. Just search EWTN.
All right, my friends, it is now time for Beacon of Beacon of Truth. You see how my mind is today.
It's always Beacon of Truth.
It's always Beacon of Truth, my friends. Time for the Soulful Psalm segment of Beacon of Truth. This is where we take one of the psalms that we heard this past Sunday in the Holy Sacrifice of Mass. In fact, we hear in every Mass from the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. We connect that psalm to your everyday lived experience. And today we're continuing our look at Psalm 31. So Psalm 31, of course, is in book one of the Psalms, Psalms 1 to 41. All of the Psalms are attributed to David. This is a fairly long Psalm, about 25 verses or so. And the prescript or superscript is the entire first verse of the Psalm. It simply says, Lemenzeach Mizmor HaDavid, for the choir master, a psalm of David. And David started off this psalm, in you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your justice, set me free. Incline your ear to me and speedily rescue me. Love this psalm. Now, this part of this psalm would sound very familiar to you because this is one of the psalms that Jesus prayed from the cross. So verse 6 of Psalm 31 says, into your hands I commend my spirit. Right? So, of course, those were one of the last words that Jesus spoke before he died on the cross. Right? So he was quoting from the Psalms, right, on the cross, a number of the Psalms, including this one. But we're picking up today at verse 31. So verse 31, David says, verse 17, Psalm 31, verse 17. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your merciful love. I love the fact that David's talking about the let your face shine on me. Why? He's the Son. So we think about Jesus as the Son of God, right? Zechariah prayed in the Benedictus that the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death. So obviously, Psalm 31 was written way before Jesus or John the Baptist or any of that. But David is talking about the God's face shining on his servant, right? The God, he's the light of our life. He's bringing us out of the darkness into his beautiful light. He's shining the light of his brilliance, of his love, of his wisdom, of his truth, of his mercy into the darkness of our existence, right? We just have to open our eyes to see the light of God wanting to shine into our hearts, shining into our life. And he says, save me in your merciful love, right? And he did, and that's exactly what God did by sending his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, right? The Son of Mary, right? He saved us by conquering death, by the one thing that could possibly separate us from God forever. He conquered death. So that by following the teachings of Jesus, we die to ourselves and to live for him. We live our lives in the light of Christ, right? And it brings us out of the darkness of sin into the light that will lead us to the ultimate light, heaven, where Saint Carlo Acutis and Saint Pier Giorgio Frassati right now, right? Beautiful. And David continues, let me not be put to shame, O Lord, for I call on you. Let the wicked be shamed. Let them be silenced in the grave. Right? So David's starting to bring it here. Right? So again, when this psalm is prayed in the breviary, this verse is not included. It's you know, like the imprecatory psalms, we talked about that. Psalms 58, 83, and 109 are not included in the Psalter, the four-week breviary liturgy of the hours at all, because of kind of the quote-unquote cursing nature of the Psalms. They're just so strong. And parts of other Psalms, Psalm 110, and this one, also Psalm 31. They're just parts of the Psalm here that are not prayed because of the imprecatory nature of them. Again, but I would agree with Augustine. We look at Augustine's commentary on the Psalms, that he said to include them because we have to look at them allegorically. In other words, look at them through the saving power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I think, especially when we look at this Psalm Christologically, as we're already talking about how this Psalm is, we can see Christ in here, the shining light, his merciful love. Let us not be put to shame, for I call on you. Remember, Jesus says, if you call on the name of the Lord, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you call on the name of the Lord. And that's what David is, in seed form, alluding to here. Let the wicked be shamed. Let them be silenced in the grave. right? Because the dead cannot praise the Lord. The shades cannot stand and praise the Lord because they've cut themselves off from God's life. They've chosen to say no to God's invitation to love, life, intimacy, and communion. So those are the ones who are going to be shamed and silenced. Those who, by their own free choice, refuse to take, as it says, to take God as their stronghold, right? To take God as their stronghold. Love that. Then it continues, let lying lips be stilled, right? So Jesus Christ is the way, John 14:6, he's the way, the truth, and the life, right? So people want to pay sometimes lip service to their faith and not really live their faith with passion and conviction. They will call themselves, I'm Catholic, but when it really comes up to standing up for the Catholic faith, you know, they won't do it. You know, like say, oh, I'm Catholic, but I'm pro-choice. That's ridiculous. You can't be Catholic and choose, say it's okay to take the life of an innocent child. You can't do that. You can't call yourself Catholic and say, you know, well, I'm just this kind of Catholic, that liberal, conservative. You know, first of all, those terms should not even be used in the church, liberal and conservative. Those are political terms. And politics doesn't belong in the church. That's why I never talk about it on this show. You never once hear me talk about politics or government or presidents, because that does have its place, like on EWTN News Nightly, phenomenal show, the Raymond Arroyo, the world over, that stuff is talked about in those. Not here. We're focusing on the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. So the teaching that you will hear here is always faithful to the magisterium and the teaching of the church. If I ever say anything that's just my opinion, I will preface it by saying this is my opinion. But even my opinion will still be in line with church teaching, right? Even if it's my opinion, not an official teaching of the church. You know, that's what Beacon of Truth is all about. Speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. So David says, let lying lips be still that speak haughtily against the just man with pride and contempt. You know, I think we talked about this on one of the shows last week in answer to a caller question. Pride, I think, is the queen of the vices. You know, we have the virtues and then we have the vices. And, you know, we have gluttony and we have pride, you know, sloth, envy, greed, all the different vices. But I think pride is the queen of the vices. So David's here says, let lying lips be still that speak haughtily. That means with arrogance. Against the just man, right? And that happens to so many of us today. We speak the truth of our Catholic faith and love, and we get criticized. And the sad part is not just by people outside the church who don't know what the church teaches about anything. They just don't like what the church teaches. So they get angry and vitriolic, and they yell and they scream and they curse. And, you know, how dare you teach this and that kind of thing. That's one thing. But the sad part is when they when it comes from within the church. Right. People that are in the church itself that are living more according to the culture, living more, for politics and letting politics influence their decisions on how they're going to live their Catholic faith rather than letting the faith dictate how they think, how they act, how they live. You know, so he says, so David is praying here, let lying lips be still. And this is, again, one of the verses that's not included in when the psalmist prayed in the breviary. Let lying lips be still that speak haughtily against the just man with pride and contempt. So David is asking God to execute justice against those who speak against those who are righteously standing up for their faith in God and who are persecuted. Are mocked and ridiculed. And what does Jesus say in the Beatitudes, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:7? Blessed are those who are persecuted for my name, right? So we should not be always afraid. We should never be afraid to stand up for our faith. All right, we're talking about the nativity, the birthday of the Blessed Virgin Mary today on her feast day. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986.
Who knew you could use handbells outside of Christmas?
Yeah, that's right. when I hear stuff like this, like, what's that dance I used to do to music like this? Watusi or something like that?
It was something like that.
I forget what it's called.
I live in too much of a theater house. This is just straight up, like, choreographed theater, you know. I can see the, like, the Temptations with the Pips or whatever.
Yeah,
you know.
Yep.
It's always something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that has that early Motown vibey feel to it, for sure. And there were different dances that people used to do, the stuff like that. I just can't remember the name of them now. That's before my time.
I don't know. When you and I went to the show, when we went to see a concert when we were in D.C., I don't know if you paid attention to the backup dancers for one of the bands, but they were, like, for, like, a whole song, they didn't sing a note, but they were doing, like, this little box step.
Yeah.
I was like, can you do something else? Go to the right. Does it have to be the same for 3.5 minutes?
Yeah, did you see, by the way, I sent you a YouTube of an interview with the guy.
I did. I haven't watched it yet. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's it's pretty good. He's actually talking about John Coltrane, the influence with John. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So good stuff. I knew you'd appreciate that. So.
Yep. I can't wait. I'll watch it tonight.
All right. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're celebrating the Nativity, the birthday of the Blessed Virgin Mary. You know, I know I'm going to, well, no, I'm doing intermittent fasting today. But one of these days I'm going to celebrate the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Cake.
But the next date night with my wife. What was that?
You need some cake.
Yeah, have some cake, right? To celebrate the Blessed Mary. We should be doing something to celebrate her birthday today. Would love to hear from you, your thoughts on the Blessed Mother. Maybe how she's been an influence in your life. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Don't forget, coming up this afternoon, matter of fact, tonight, as you're heading home, Catholic Answers Live with Cy Kellett. Of course, 6 Eastern, as today, he's got Mark Brumley answering your questions. Anything is on the table, plus more on Pope Pius XII. So if you want to find out more, that's with Cy today. And Catholic Answers right here on EWTN Radio.
All right. Very good. We're talking about the Blessed Mother on her birthday today, the Nativity, the Feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you, your thoughts on the Blessed Mother. Maybe she's an intercessor for you. Would love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Before we go to Linda, just quickly, Rose on YouTube says, how did they come to September 8th as Mary's birthday, I wonder? Okay, so I'm going to draw a little parallel here for you. So we know that March 25th, right, is the Feast of the Annunciation, right, where the angel Gabriel came to Blessed Mother. And then 9 months later is what day? Christmas Day. December 25th, right? Now, we don't know for sure that it was exactly March 25th, exactly December 25th. That's not the point. The point is 9 months after the Annunciation, 9 months after Christmas, they go 9 months backward. That's how we get the date for the Annunciation. And so Mary's birthday, think about it. December 8th is the Immaculate Conception, right? When Mary was conceived by Joachim and Anne, the Immaculate Conception, December 8th, 9 months later is September 8th today. And that's how they got the date for the birthday of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Great question. We're talking about the Blessed Virgin Mary today on her birthday. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Linda is calling from Simi Valley, California, listening on Sirius XM 130. Linda, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes, can hear you great. Thanks for calling.
Great. I'm so happy to be calling in. This is my first time. And I just thought this is the day I'm going to call on Mama's birthday because I wanted to share as a converted Catholic how much I love our Blessed Mother. And the book that really made a profound difference in my life, The Mystical City of God by the Venerable Mary of Agreda, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. Do you know the book? You know the book.
Yes, I'm familiar with the book, yes.
It's such a beautiful book, and I just wanted to share that I read the abridged version, which is about 1,000 pages, and for anyone that's looking for a deeper devotion to Mary and knowing about her life, I just think it's an amazing, beautiful book. I read it nightly just a bit. It took me maybe 2 months to read it. I would put in my AirPods with like the Benedictine monk chants in the background real low, and I would read it and weep with the beauty of it. The writing is so profound and beautiful, and I just wanted to share that.
Well, thank you so much, Linda. This is great. And that's the thing. I mean, as I was talking about with Ace earlier, the more we learn about the faith and the people that are a huge part of our faith, the saints, the more we learn, the more we realize how much we don't know. And it's in that exploration and going deeper and learning more that our hearts become not just our mind. We just fill our heads with knowledge. We fill our hearts with a deeper love of our faith. And your reading the book about Mary, Linda, is a beautiful, beautiful example of that. You know, how going deeper in our faith, just reading about the Blessed Mother, deepen your love and your faith in her son. Because Mary always wants to point us and direct us toward Jesus, right? So beautiful. Oh, what an awesome call. Thank you so much, Linda, for your beautiful call. We're talking about the Blessed Virgin Mary today on her birthday. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Sue is a first-time caller calling from Columbus, Ohio. That's an area I go to quite a bit to speak. And she's listening on Alexa today. Sue, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you. Yeah, I also am a convert from Protestant for decades. And listening to AM 820 has really, that's opened the door. I just, so many things that I never knew. And one of the things I thought about today is you were speaking and talking about Mary's mother. And I never knew that we even knew who they were. And it's been an exciting journey to get learning some of these things that I never knew. So, and I've been praying that Mary would help me to get to know her better and all. So, thank you for your show.
Oh, you're most welcome, Sue. And I just want to, first of all, I want to thank you so much for your beautiful call and welcome to the Catholic Church. Great to have you here. So what I do, if you pray the rosary very much, Sue, at all? Is that something that you're interested in doing or have been doing?
I have some. I usually use an app that kind of leads me through, and I just push the different beads on the app, and then leads me through the next prayer.
Oh yeah, that's on the Laudate app where they have that. You because that way you don't get lost, and if you don't have a rosary, you can do it right on your phone. Yeah, and so the reason I asked that, Sue, because some people, especially like yourself, converts to the Catholic faith, kind of struggle with the rosary. On this show, Beacon of Truth, if you go back and look at our previous episodes, we're doing a series called Our Life in Christ. And what we're doing there, Sue, is we're taking a look at each of the mysteries of the rosary. So we're starting with the joyful mysteries, then the luminous mysteries, which we're going through right now, then the sorrowful mysteries and the glorious mysteries. And we're looking at a kind of a contiguous line of Christ's life that and looking at each of the mysteries of the rosary and exploring those deeply. And we always get so many calls whenever we do that Our Life of Christ show, focusing on one of the mysteries of the rosary. But what I've heard feedback from listeners that they've deepened their love for the rosary through our example, by listening to the show. We talk about the mysteries. It helps them to deepen their understanding and their love for the rosary. So that might be something that you want to go back and listen to the different shows. And the other thing is this. I was talking about this. We talked about this the other day. We had a show about St. Teresa of Calcutta, Mother Teresa, about her novena of memorares, right? She'll play 9 memorares for a particular intention. So that may also be something that you want to do as well to help celebrate and bring you closer to Christ through the heart of His Blessed Mother. All right. Awesome call. It's all about Mary today on her birthday, the Feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Would love to hear your thoughts about the Blessed Mother and her influence in your life. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Kay is calling from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, listening on Holy Family Radio. Kay, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, thank you. This is my first time call also.
Oh, wonderful. So glad you're here.
Thank you. And I thought I have to call you. When I think of Our Lady, or I think of her every day, how she, first of all, I'm a grandmother of 11. I do babysit grandchildren. And one in particular is a little stinker in the day. And I will think of Our Lady, how if she was a grandmother, how she would be kind. Not that I'm not kind to her, I'm not saying that, but how she would be patient and loving. And I try to model myself after that. If I feel that I'm getting a little short, I think, how would Mary handle this? She certainly would be handling it in a beautiful way. So she's my role model.
Oh, wonderful. And, you know, it's very interesting. Yes, she's not obviously a grandmother, but she's the mother of Jesus, which means she's and the mother of the church, and that means, that means she's our mother as well, you know. And there's certain certain members of her children who are, you know, maybe like your grandchild, a little feisty, a little exuberant, you know, and sometimes, you know, you have to use that motherly love with a motherly heart, you know, in order to kind of rein that child in a little bit. And that's what Mary does. I know. I pray the rosary every day. I went on my walk. I walked the 7 miles today, and I was praying. The first thing I do, first thing, when I head out my door to my house, walking down to the park, is I pray the rosary first thing. And the last thing I do before I start, I put on my Spotify playlist, is I've been doing the novena of Memorare. So every day I end my prayer time with 9 Memorares, just like Mother Teresa used to do, because I'm praying for a special intention right now. And so, yeah, so she's our mother too. And so what a beautiful way to use her example in dealing with your own grandkids. What would Mary do? You know, how would Mary's, I want my heart to reflect Mary's heart in dealing with this child, you know, in patience and love and gentleness and mercy, you know. And the best part about it, Kay, is that the child will see your example and learn from that example, and, you know, and hopefully bring it into his own life one day. Man, what a beautiful call. We're talking about the Blessed Virgin Mary today on her birthday. 833-288-EWTN. Would love to hear from you today. 833-288-3986. Donna is calling just north of me, in Spokane, Washington, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Donna, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, am I supposed to turn off my radio?
Will that matter? Yeah, because we hear an echo. So you could at least turn it down.
Okay, good. Well, I love the Blessed Virgin, and I hated my name till my mom told me that I was named after the Blessed Virgin. And anyway, what I do is Mary's birthday, I praise God for creating her just the way she is, and that we don't deserve her love, but that God gives us such a beautiful gift through the Virgin Mary. That's what I do for her birthday. But every day what I do is I want to pray always like Jesus asked. So I offer all my works, joys, prayers, and sufferings, and I offer all the works, joys, prayers, and sufferings that aren't being offered, and I offer them through with all the angels and saints to go with Mary to Jesus and offer them through her Immaculate Heart to her sacred, to his Sacred Heart, and that she places them in his Sacred Heart, and from there he brings them to the Father and the Holy Spirit for me. And I just feel in my heart that's the most powerful way I can think of praying besides the Mass, of course.
Wonderful. See, and that's what I love. You don't have to have like people say, what prayer am I supposed to say? What prayer? You know, it just comes from the heart. It doesn't have to be. Yes, you can use formal prayers that the church uses. Of course you can do that. But sometimes we say sometimes on the show that it's the beauty is in the simplicity. You know, sometimes prayer just comes from your heart. And what a beautiful way to honor the Blessed Mother is through her intercession. Because think about it. She's the greatest saint. We just, you know, the church just canonized two saints, right? Just this past weekend. Carlo Acutis and Pier Giorgio Frassati. But the greatest saint in the history of the church ever is a wife and a mother, is a woman. The Blessed Virgin Mary, the greatest example of what it means to be human is the Blessed Virgin Mary. And, you know, and so some people struggle. They say things, oh, the church is not fair to women because they won't be priests. Well, priests are fathers. You know, Mary didn't desire to be a priest. You know, because why? She gave birth to the priest. She gave birth to Christ. All right. And she's the mother. She's the queen mother. You know, and so we don't have to struggle with, you know, this false sense of equality in order for a woman to be who she is. She has to be a man and do what men do. No, the Blessed Virgin Mary is the exemplar for all of us in the faith of how we to live our faith in closest in union with Jesus, because no one was closer to her than him, closer to him than her. I mean, she carried him in her womb. She gave birth to him. And she still, through, we talked about microchimerism, where she still has the cells. A woman who's pregnant, every pregnancy she has the cells of that child in her body for the rest of her life. And so Mary's carrying around Jesus's cell in her body, even now while she's, it's just amazing to think about how awesome she is. What a beautiful call, Donna. And again, named after the Blessed Virgin Mary, beautiful. We're talking all about the Blessed Mother today on her birthday, the Feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. We'd love to hear from you, your thoughts on the Blessed Mother today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Bonita is calling from Mason City, Iowa, listening on Real Presence Radio Online. Bonita, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you so much. And I love your program, and your enthusiasm is incredible. And today is my birthday also, so I celebrate every year with the Blessed Virgin.
Awesome. Happy birthday.
Thank you. And I'm doing the Rosary in a Year with Father Mark Mary, which is very, very good. But my favorite rosary, they do on RPR, and I'm not sure if they do it every week or not, but it's the Patriotic Rosary. And every Hail Mary is for a different state. They start with the A's, and they go through every single state and pray for every person that's living in that state. It's just an incredible rosary.
Oh, wow. Wonderful, wonderful. And where did you where can you find that rosary there?
It's on the Real Presence Radio. And I forget
Real Presence.
What night
it was. Wonderful.
I forget what night it was, but they do it. Okay. I think they do it once a week, but it's awesome.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Yet another way because we're supposed to pray for everyone, right? And what a great way to do that, pray for our country, you know, by praying for each state, because there's 50, right? There's 50 states, so that makes perfect sense. Thank you for sharing that, Benin. I hope more people will start praying, maybe the you said the Patriotic Rosary, or just the rosary to pray for our country and all of the people and for everyone. Offer rosaries for every single person. Even those who aren't in the church, aren't part of our faith, even for our enemies, right? Jesus says to pray for those who hate you, to love your enemies and pray for them. What better prayer than the rosary, to pray for those that don't agree with us, don't see eye to eye? That's okay. We can pray for them. Thank you for the beautiful call, Benita. And we're talking about the Blessed Virgin Mary today on her birthday, the Feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Carol is calling from Jamestown, North Dakota, listening also on Real Presence Radio. Carol, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hello, Deacon. Pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, I'm so glad you called today.
in my church, in the Basilica of St. James, we have pies for Mary. We have 53 pies set up in the form of a rosary, and we have a social together. You can buy a piece of pie or buy a whole pie, but we have 53 pies for Mary in Jamestown, Basilica of St. James.
Wait, hold on, hold on. Do you have the pies arranged in the shape of the rosary? Or just you
yes,
just have 50?
They're in the shape of a rosary.
What?
And then
that
every
is awesome.
Our Father, there's a statue at the Our Father. So it's a huge, it fills up the room.
Oh, how creative is that? That is, I've never heard of that before. That is awesome. 50, oh man. Man, see, you got to eat your way through the rosary there. That is awesome. And so is it like a fundraiser for the parish then?
Yeah, it's just more of a social than anything.
A social.
But it's a free will
oh,
offering. You know, you can sit and have a piece of pie with a friend or buy a whole pie to take it. And there's always extra pies to fill in the gaps. But we have
oh,
to start with
53
pies.
Oh, that is beautiful. What a very fun and creative way to well, I don't know if you pray the rosary before you put the pies, but a way to show people that we can have fun with our faith too, you know, and for a good cause, to bring people together, because Jesus often brought people together around food, around the table. Obviously, the Last Supper, the first holy sacrifice of the Mass, right? He offered bread and wine, right? That became his body, blood, soul, and divinity. But many times in the Gospels, Jesus is gathering people together around a table where there's food, you know? And so what a beautiful, wonderful, creative way to commemorate the rosary, and especially the Blessed Mother today on her birthday. Great call. Thank you so much, Carol. We want to hear from you today. We're talking about the Blessed Mother on her birthday. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Sue is calling from Kenmore, Washington, listening on Sirius XM 130. Sue, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Oh, thank you, Deacon.
No, great to hear from you.
Your radio station's tremendous.
Thank you.
Yeah,
we'd like to share with us today.
I'd like to share that. I was, oh boy, number of years, well, five, 10 years ago, whatever. I was a CPA, a teacher, climbed Mount Rainier a couple times. I said, I don't need any help from anybody, happily married. I thought everything was great. And used too much of my own knowledge, I thought, I don't need any help from anybody. Well, I was driving on the road on the way to an interview, and a lady appeared on the side of me, and the other, on the passenger seat, in the most beautiful blue dress I've ever seen, no lines in her face, and, you know, she said, Sue, slow down. I said, ah, no, I'm in control. I don't need any help from anybody. And she nods, and she said, really, slow down, Sue. And I said, ah, I'm fine. Well, I hit something. I turned to her, and I said, I made a mistake. And she says, I know. And that was... And then I saw her again in the sky, but that was my story.
What? How long ago was this?
85, long time ago.
Wow. She told you to slow down. Wow. So, you know, I'm in control. What a beautiful reminder that God is in control. You know, and that we have to relinquish our control to God's control, because there are so many things in life that are beyond our control, and we should be worrying about the things that we can control. So, yeah, so a beautiful, you know, and who knows, you know, if you didn't slow down, maybe, yeah, you hit something, but maybe it could have even been worse than that, you know. So, man, what a beautiful witness. Thank you so much, Sue, for sharing that with us today. We're talking about the Blessed Mother on her birthday today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Rita is calling from Central New York, listening on Sirius XM 130. And she only listens to Sirius XM for EWTN. Rita, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, Deacon Heron. You are amazing. You are a ball of fire. And I know Mary is with you today. And I'm going to say, Mary, I love you. And I'm going to relay my story. So I am a surgeon, and I got married, and I have my husband. But that inquisitiveness, aggressiveness, leading always stay there. So it became hard when you're getting together as a couple. And I started praying. I said, Mary, you know, you were the one who got, you know, the Holy Spirit, but Joseph was there with you, and you, I imagine you treated with respect, and you guys walked together. Would you help me be a better wife? So I started doing the rosary, and little by little, she was changing my heart, and, you know, going to church, putting candles. Last year, we've been together 11 years.
Oh, beautiful. What a great way to end the show. Thank you, everybody. And don't forget, find something to do today to celebrate the birthday of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, tomorrow, we're going to talk about Saint Peter Claver. You can stream today's show by visiting podcastcentralew10.com/radio. And may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you, my friends, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.